So today, at the end of the Acts 2 reading, which you can see there in your bulletin, we're going to focus in, as I said, on that last sentence. The Lord was adding to their number, day by day, those who are being saved. We are meant to grow, and that's why that is one of our vision terms up there. Grow, serve, steward, and care. And it's biblical to say that. We want to grow. We are to grow. And by that, we mean really two things. We are to grow deep spiritually. We've talked about that a couple times in recent weeks, what spiritual health and maturity looks like and how we grow in that direction. We're also meant to grow numerically. That's not to say we are to become a megachurch or have aspirations of that, but there is, that's the mission of the church, right? Is to draw people who do not know the Lord into fellowship and communion together. Having said that, this passage really lays out a little bit of how that works, what our part is, and what God's part is, and that's what I want to dig into with you today. So we're going to start with the Lord's work. As is often the case, Melissa's already pretty much covered the whole sermon well in 3 minutes or less. And I always think you're thinking, how come Robert can't do that in 3 minutes or less? But we'll just add a little bit of detail to what she has already done so well. The Lord's work is captured in that verse. It says the Lord's part. The Lord was adding to their number those who were being saved. So I want to say a little bit about what's going on spiritually with God at work in that chapter. First of all, remember God's Holy Spirit is all over this. This is Acts 2, and Acts 1 is the story of the outpouring of God's Holy Spirit at Pentecost, the same Spirit that Jesus promised to his followers to be with them, to be in them. It's the same Spirit, however, that's always been around since the waters of creation. It says God's Spirit was hovering over the waters. But Jesus said, in a special way, I'm going to pour out my Spirit upon you. And that was part of the messianic promise, that God would pour out his Spirit in a new way, in a new day, upon the earth. So that's going on. Acts 1 has described the tongues of fire and the speaking, you know, in tongues that everyone there could understand. And as it rolls into Acts 2, that same Spirit is at work in the life of those early believers in that Christian community, the followers of Christ. So that's part of the Lord adding to their numbers. God is clearly at work in them and with them. Also, notice on this verse just what it's saying, though. What kind of growth were they experiencing? It was those being saved, right? We can, this is not marketing growth where you grab some disgruntled folks from the church next door grab newcomers to town, though that's good. They need to go to church too. But this is kingdom work, right? Those who do not know the Lord, coming to salvation, hearing the good news about Jesus Christ and God's love for the world through him and believing, that's the work of those being saved. And that is the work, as Melissa described, that only God can do. Only God can change the human heart. Only God can save, raise from death to life a human being. So that's God's work, and it's kingdom work. And I want to define that as what we mean when we say we are to grow, and God desires for us to grow. And the other piece of that is God is doing that, has always been doing that, is doing it even now. All over the world, in our community, God is saving people, right? The question is, are we going to be a part of that? And that leads into the second part, which is, what is our work? What are we supposed to do? If God's the one who saves, right, who grows his kingdom, what is our work? And the analogy of plants is very helpful in feeding into that. So that's one of the things that is described in 1 Corinthians 3. Paul planted, or maybe Apollos planted. Yeah, Paul planted. Apollos watered, but God caused the growth. All right, you get that in gardening. The youth are going to do some planting and watering this afternoon. But God created the whole system of plants and chlorophyll and reacting to sunlight and the thing that makes plants thrive in the same way God is the one who saves the human heart, right? But there are things that we're supposed to do. Paul, not only, well, this is a metaphor, right? He planted the seed of the word about Christ in all these communities, all these cities around the Mediterranean. And people like Apollos or Phoebe and Timothy and others came along behind and watered and stayed and pastored and taught and helped cultivate and grow in knowledge this seed that Paul planted. But Paul says here, without God, it's nothing, right? God's the one that caused the growth, the spark in the human heart that said, yes, I believe, I want to follow, I'm a part of God's kingdom. So that's the one image. Acts 2 also, and I mentioned this last week when we were talking about generous caring, that's not just an activity by itself, like one thing you maybe assign a committee to, and they're the only ones that do it. Acts 2 describes a healthy fellowship, a healthy community of faith. All the things listed out there, they were devoted to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer, to worship. They were in awe and wonder at all that was going on. And they were generously sharing and caring for their community and that beyond. That's the picture of what they were doing, the human beings, right? That was the work they were doing, the planting, the watering, the tilling, the weeding. All of that is the human work in which God brings to life the human heart and human faith through the work of His Spirit. So, how do we grow? Well, again, God is the one that adds to our number those who are being saved. But we, like those early Christians, in order to have a healthy garden, a healthy, spiritually healthy church, we have examples like that of Acts, of learning through the scripture, through Bible study, attending to teaching and preaching, to prayer, to work. And that whole list, all of that is part of tending our garden so that God causes healthy growth. For the second week in a row, and I promise you, Christy and I have not planned this, the youth Sunday school lesson fit right in to the sermon. I know that sometimes happens with the adult classes too. So we're having our Sunday school class this morning. It's the story about the 10 lepers who cried out to Jesus, you know, have mercy on us. And Jesus could have healed them on the spot. You know, pure, divine, supernatural wonder. Could have snapped his fingers, healed him on the spot. But he didn't do that. He did the supernatural part, the healing, but he also gave them work to do. Instead of snapping his fingers, he said, go show yourself to the priest. Have the priest declare you clean, because that's what the priest did for diseases and other things like that. And it says, on the way, they were healed. Right, so they had to listen to what Jesus said, obey his instructions, in faith go. Why is he sending us to the priest? We have leprosy. And on the way, the supernatural happened. So again, it's that combination. I don't know why God does it that way, but consistently, God does it that way. Right? He partners with human beings like you and me to do the supernatural work. That's one reason, you know, one of the first little catchphrases I put up on the wall out there and started using is that we are ordinary people serving an extraordinary God. God does the supernatural through normal, natural people like us. And that's the same picture here in Acts, in Corinthians, with the story of the lepers. Jesus said, I have something for you to do in obedience. And in the midst of that, did the extraordinary, the amazing. So I want to kind of make this practical, applicable. I want to give you two challenges. I'm going to call them Christmas challenges because I just heard on the news that there are 70 days till Christmas. Actually, it was 72, but that was the news 2 days ago. So I did the math, saved you that trouble. Two challenges, and they're in nice Christmas colors up there. The first has to do with devotion, and the second with inviting. So first, devote. That's how the church in Acts is described, right? The fertile, well-tended garden of their community into which God was causing growth, adding to their number those who were being saved. They devoted themselves to, and there's a list of the things from Acts. It's more, for sure. But they devoted themselves to teaching Scripture, God's words, to fellowship in the breaking of the bread, to prayer, to worship, awe, wonder at what God was doing. They devoted themselves to generous sharing as well as generous caring. And they cultivated joy. The phrase was they were marked by gladness and sincerity of heart. I describe that as joy, right? And they cultivated that. So my challenge, I mean, that's a pretty overwhelming list, and that's just Acts. We could go on to some other areas. But my challenge is pick one. 70 days to Christmas. Pick one thing off that list and devote yourself to it. See if you can cultivate a holy habit. And it doesn't have to be 6 hours a day, starving yourself, praying in your closet. But daily, devote yourself in small ways. Begin a holy habit between now and Christmas, and see what God does with that, especially if that multiplies out among the members of our community. If we're devoted to a number of different holy habits, that is how we tend the garden that is Good Shepherd, this church in this place. And let's see what God does with that. Scripture says that God is faithful and merciful and gracious, and that God is the power behind salvation, saving people. God asks us to tend our garden well, that he might cause the growth. So that's the first challenge, is pick one thing to devote yourself to for the next 70 days. Second challenge is to invite someone to something. How's that for general? Invite someone to something. No, related to the church. Invite someone to something. Time and time again, and this has been legitimately researched and studied, the number one reason why people will attach to a faith community and build regular worship and service into their life is because someone personally invited them to that place. There are some people that wander in, they see the sign, they find a website, but the most effective human way of connecting with people is personal invitation. So that's the second challenge. Invite two or three people between now and Christmas. And I'm going to give you some, if you're like, okay, but how do I do that? What do I do? I'm going to give you some suggestions. I'm going to end with worship, so don't feel like I leapt right over that. But I'm going to start with a few other things. I pledge to have a men's wings night between now and Christmas. I miss the wings. I want some wings. And I want some people to go with me. And we have a very loose definition of that. Sons and daughters and friends and, I mean, heck, wives and grandparents, anybody can come. We're just going to have some wings. So a nice social event. We don't have a Bible study. It's fellowship, right? It's breaking of the bread, except it's eating of the wings and licking of the fingers. But we'll do that. So that may be one thing. You can think of somebody. I can invite somebody to wings. That's not going to scare them off. That's good. We're having a picnic after the work day. They only have to come work. I mean, join us in work, or they just come picnic with us. We're nice folks. We have some cornhole, some good food, some games. That's coming up on the 30th. Service projects, youth group, if you're in youth, invite friends, and a bunch of you are already great at doing that. I mean, every week, I think, we have some friend and is invited. Walking club has kind of fallen by the wayside, but there's at least two faithful walkers who still go every Saturday. So if you are interested in walking, I know who to talk to. And their names are Clay and Heather. And they would love company. And Susan, office. So three people, my bad. And then worship. And I know that may feel awkward to invite somebody. And I'm not talking about finding your super faithful Methodist friend and saying, hey, will you take a break from your church and come to ours one Sunday? Because, no. I mean, think of someone to invite who maybe doesn't know the Lord or has been away from church or disconnected or for whatever reason might come here and hear the good news. And the rest is up to God, right? But they can come here and hear the good news. I want to give you a preview of what's coming between now and Christmas, because I don't want you to be afraid, well, what if I bring them this Sunday and, Eric breaks into liturgical dance? That may be the thing that, swings the doors wide open into the kingdom. Maybe not. That's not going to happen between now and Christmas. And he's, in fact, assured me that's never going to happen. So I don't know why I picked on you. Here is what's going to happen. Between really now and the end of November, it's our stewardship season. And you may think, oh, good, I'm glad. I don't want you to invite somebody when y'all are going to be asking for money. But here's the thing. We're not just asking for money. We are explaining why this is a good place to give to. We're gonna be highlighting the work of the church. We're going to have elders and deacons sharing the ministries of the church. We're going to have testimonies from members in the church of why they go to church. Why Good Shepherd? What they love about our church? What drew them here? It's going to be, I think, more so than any other part of the year. What is God doing here? And why draw near to God in a church, in a community of faith? And we'll talk about giving, but that will be relatively light-handed. The main thing is it's going to be full of stories and testimonies. I can't think of a better way to show people God's influence in the lives of people. So through the end of November, that's going to be kind of what's going on. And then if that doesn't feel like a fit, the month of December, as usual, we're going to be looking forward to Christmas, to Jesus' birth and all that that means. It's going to be Christmassy music, and it's a wonderful time to invite people to church. And a lot of people who may not do that regularly are open to that in and around Christmas, the candle lighting service on Christmas Eve. It's all a wonderful time to invite folks to church. So second Christmas challenge, pick two or three people and invite them to something and see what God does with that. If we cultivate and take care of, tend our garden that God has entrusted us with here, and that itself is stewardship. That's actually the original stewardship. God put Adam in a garden, told him to cultivate it, to take care of it. If we do that, and if we welcome and invite folks into our community of faith, God says he'll do the hard part, the impossible part, the supernatural part. God is the one who adds to our number those who are being saved. And then I want to end with this. I actually first went looking for a picture, and then I found this video clip, and I thought, oh, I just have to show the whole thing. We're going to show you a clip from The Chosen, which is what one of our Sunday school classes are doing this fall. They're watching The Chosen and discussing it. This is the clip of the miraculous catch of fish. And I'm not going to say anything else after it, and I'm not going to stop saying so much now. What I want you to ask yourself while you watch it is, what was God doing through Jesus? What's the supernatural part? And what were the people doing? What was their work? What's God's work? And what's our work? And just soak in this wonderful portrayal of this miraculous event as a way to understand what we've talked about today.